Chapter 9. Inspector Curry and his sergeant found Miss Beliver alone in the Great Hall when they arrived. She came forward.
I am Juliet Beliver, companion and secretary to Mrs. Sericold. Most of the household are in the library. Mr. Sericold remained in Mr. Gulbranson's room to see that nothing was touched. Dr. Maverick, who first examined the body, will be here soon. He had to take a case over to the Institute. Shall I lead the way?
Please.
For the next 20 minutes, it was the routine of police procedure that was most important. The photographer took pictures. The police surgeon arrived and was joined by Dr. Maverick. Half an hour later, the ambulance took away Christian Gulbranson, and Inspector Curry started his official inquiry. He looked carefully round the people gathered there, making notes in his mind. An old lady with white hair, a middle-aged lady, the good-looking girl he had seen driving her car round the countryside, that American husband of hers. A couple of young men, the capable Miss Beliver, and Louis Sericold.
I'm afraid this is all very upsetting to you, he said, and I hope I will not keep you too long this evening. We can look at everything more thoroughly tomorrow. It was Miss Beliver who found Mr. Gulbranson dead, so I'll ask her to give me a description of the general situation. Mr. Sericold, if you want to go up to your wife, please do.
Miss Beliver arranged Inspector Curry, his sergeant and herself in Louis Sericold's study. Inspector Curry had a pleasant voice and manner. He looked quiet and serious.
I've had the main facts from Mr. Sericold. Mr. Christian Gulbranson was one of the trustees here, and he arrived unexpectedly yesterday. That is correct?
Yes.
Inspector Curry was pleased by her short answer. He continued.
Mr. Sericold was away in Liverpool. He returned this evening by the 6:30 train.
Yes.
After dinner, Mr. Gulbranson went to work in his own room, leaving the rest of the group here. Correct?
Yes.
Now, Miss Beliver, please explain how you found him dead.
Something unpleasant happened this evening. A young man became very unbalanced and threatened Mr. Sericold with a gun. They were locked in this room, and you can see the bullet holes in the wall there. Fortunately, Mr. Sericold was unhurt. After firing the shots, this young man was in such a bad condition that Mr. Sericold sent me to find Dr. Maverick. As I was coming back, I went to Mr. Gulbranson's room to ask if there was anything he would like before he went to bed. When I saw that Mr. Gulbranson was dead, I rang you.
Could anyone have come into the house from outside without being heard or seen?
Certainly. By the side door to the terrace. People come in and out that way to go to the college buildings.
And you have, I believe, 250 juvenile delinquents in the college?
Yes, but the college buildings are locked and guarded. It is most unlikely that anyone could leave the college without permission.
We shall check that, of course. What was the purpose of Mr. Gulbranson's visit?
I have no idea. His business here was with Mr. Sericold.
Did he have a meeting with Mr. Sericold?
No, there was no time. Mr. Sericold arrived just before dinner, and after dinner, Mr. Gulbranson said he had an important letter to write and went away to do so.
He didn't suggest a meeting with Mr. Sericold?
No.
Mr. Sericold did not go with him to his room?
No. Mr. Sericold stayed in the hall.
And you have no idea at what time Mr. Gulbranson was killed?
I think it is possible that we heard the shot. If so, it was at 9:23. Naturally, I looked at the clock.
You heard a shot, and it did not frighten you?
The circumstances were already very frightening.
Miss Beliver explained in more detail the scene between Louis Sericold and Edgar Lawson, then added grimly,
You don't expect murder and attempted murder in the same house on the same night.
Inspector Curry agreed to the truth of that.
All the same, said Miss Beliver suddenly, you know, I believe that's what made me go along to Mr. Gulbranson's room later, to reassure myself that everything was all right.
Inspector Curry stared at her for a moment.
What made you think it might not be all right?
The shot outside. It didn't mean anything at the time, and afterwards I told myself that it was only a backfire from Mr. Restarek's car, but...
Mr. Restarek's car?
Yes, Alex Restarek arrived this evening, just after all this happened.
I see. When you discovered Mr. Gulbranson's body, did you touch anything?
Of course not. Mr. Gulbranson had been shot through the head, but there was no gun to be seen, so I knew it was murder and not suicide.
And just now, when you took us into the room, everything was the same as when you found the body?
Miss Beliver thought about it.
One thing was different, she said. There was nothing in the typewriter. Mr. Gulbranson had been writing a letter. It must have been removed.
Thank you, Miss Beliver. Who else went into that room before we arrived?
Mr. Sericold, of course, and Mrs. Sericold and Miss Marple.
Which is Miss Marple? Inspector Curry asked.
The old lady with white hair. She was a school friend of Mrs. Sericold's. She arrived about 4 days ago.
Well, thank you, Miss Beliver. I'll have a word with Miss Marple next, then she can go off to bed. It's not kind to keep an old lady like that from her rest, said Inspector Curry. This must have been a shock to her.
I'll tell her, shall I?
Yes, please do.
Miss Beliver went out. Inspector Curry looked at the ceiling.
Why Gulbranson, he said. 250 young delinquents here. Probably one of them did it. But why Gulbranson, the stranger?
Sergeant Lake said,
Of course we don't know everything yet.
Inspector Curry said,
So far, we don't know anything at all.
He jumped up when Miss Marple came in and hurried to make her feel comfortable.
Now, don't upset yourself, ma'am. This is all very worrying, I know, but we've just got to get the facts clear.
Oh, yes, I know, said Miss Marple. So difficult, isn't it? To be clear about anything, I mean. Because if you're looking at one thing, you can't be looking at another. And one so often looks at the wrong thing, though whether because one happens to do so or because you're meant to, it's very hard to say. Misdirection, the magicians call it. So clever, aren't they?
Inspector Curry blinked a little.
Quite so. Now, ma'am, Miss Beliver has told me what happened this evening. A most anxious time for all of you, I'm sure.
Yes, indeed. It was all so dramatic, you know.
First, this argument between Mr. Sericold and Edgar Lawson.
A very strange young man, said Miss Marple. I have felt all along that there was something wrong about him.
I'm sure you have, said Inspector Curry. And then, after that excitement was over, there came Mr. Gulbranson's death. I understand that you went with Mrs. Sericold to see the body.
Yes, I did. We are very old friends.
Quite so. And did you touch anything while you were in the room, either of you?
Oh, no.
Did you happen to notice, ma'am, whether there was paper in the typewriter?
There wasn't, said Miss Marple. I noticed that at once, because it seemed strange. Mr. Gulbranson was sitting at the typewriter, so he must have been typing something. Yes, I thought it very strange.
Inspector Curry looked at her sharply. He said,
Did you talk with Mr. Gulbranson while he was here?
Very little,
Miss Marple thought.
He asked me about Mrs. Sericold's health, in particular about her heart.
Her heart? Is there something wrong with her heart?
Nothing whatsoever, I understand.
Inspector Curry was silent for a moment or two. Then he said,
Mr. Gulbranson left the group immediately after dinner, I understand.
Yes. He said he had a letter to write.
He didn't ask for a business meeting with Mr. Sarahcold?
No, Miss Marple added. You see, they had already had one.
They had? When? I understood that Mr. Sarahcold only returned home just before dinner.
That's quite true. But he walked through the gardens, and Mr. Gulbranson went out to meet him, and they walked up and down the terrace together.
Who else knows this?
I don't think anybody else, said Miss Marple. I just happened to be looking out of my window.
You didn't, Inspector Curry said delicately, happen to overhear anything of what they said?
Innocent blue eyes met his.
Only bits, I'm afraid, said Miss Marple gently. I do not know the actual subject of their conversation, but they wanted to save Carrie Louise from knowing something. To save her, that was how Mr. Gulbranson put it. And Mr. Sarahcold said, I agree that we must consider her. They also mentioned a big responsibility, and that they should perhaps take outside advice.
She paused.
I think you should ask Mr. Sarahcold himself about all this.
We will do so, ma'am. Now, is there anything else that you thought unusual this evening?
Miss Marple thought for a moment.
It was all so unusual, if you know what I mean. But there was one thing. Mr. Sarahcold stopped Mrs. Sarahcold from taking her medicine. Miss Beliver was quite annoyed about it.
She smiled modestly.
But that, of course, is such a little thing.
Yes. Well, thank you, Miss Marple.
As Miss Marple went out of the room, Sergeant Lake said,
She's old, but she's very observant.